Namaste. As we know that there is a storm raging outside on the eastern coast of India, near Odisha and Bengal, and there is also a storm which has swept over like a massive, gigantic cloud in the form of virus all over the world. We try to see all these things as separate and distinct, but if we take the standpoint of the unity and singularity of the plan, then we understand that what takes place outside has a link to what is happening inside us. Of course, obviously a physical storm will affect the coastal areas, it won't affect the inner areas. And it doesn't mean that the coastal people are having a certain kind of life. But all over the world, these storms, they take different shapes and different forms. Various kinds of disorder. What does a storm do? It at the end disrupts the normal order, the comfort zones in which we were living. So we can take an analogy and then move on. People who have houses made of mud or earth, those houses are very often broken, washed away, trees fall down. And such things happen. Now, an example is like in Japan, because of so many volcanoes, so many even tsunamis they face very often, earthquakes. So what they did is they learned how to live. They discovered a new way of life, even a new substance of which they will make the houses and how to make it a kind of foolproof against all the external invasions. And even if not foolproof, how they can reduce the number of casualties based on their own response, not waiting for the government or somebody else to respond. But we are slow learners, so we wait for something to come. When it's very close, then we wait for, government's help, etc., which is not a very healthy approach towards life. But similarly, and therefore we jump from one crisis to another. This has been the story, like one virus to another, one problem to another, one hurricane to another, one cyclone to another. And after a while, we forget the lesson. It comes, devastates, everything is broken down. And then we redo the whole thing, but in the same way without a change. Now, this is what we have to remember. Every crisis, whether it is outer or inner, number one, it's an indication of some spots which are weak, whether outwardly or inwardly, two which are sides of the same thing. And we need to find those weak spots. Now, whenever, say, inner storms rage, some people are prone to anger, extreme. This is the inner storm. And perhaps all this anger, all this anguish, all this fear takes the form of something very outward. So these storms which take place within, storms of passion, of jealousies, and eats us away, clouds of depression, and fears and anxieties and agitations, various kind of storm. So what do we do? How do we deal with it? I think the first most important point is that we must know when a storm is coming, there are three possible ways, or rather four possible ways. One is to just lie low. It is not the time to really now fight. Now, lying low means instead of analyzing, see like how animals go into burrows, how they escape when the storms are coming, by burrowing themselves. And we also, if we know how to burrow ourselves during those moments, that is not the time to analyze, to fret, to fume, but just stay low and let the whole thing pass. Rather than thinking what's going to happen, what may not happen. So if we use our over-analyze a situation, it becomes worse. It doesn't help anyways. So just wait and let the storm pass. The second is, of course, to brave the storm. That is obviously we have to have a consciousness vaster than nature, and hardly anybody can claim that, to really brave the storm and stop it. There are ways and means. Surely there must be occult ways. We know in Sri Aurobindo's own life, we know that how even Max Theo, mother's guru in occultism, could divert a lightning. So we should definitely look into a direction that maybe one day man will have the power to deflect these forces of nature. We have in various stories that there are forces and powers which in nature, elemental powers, which can be mastered by a kind of self-mastery, because they are two which are on a continuum. So if we master our passions and anger, maybe we can master even the outer elemental forces of nature. But that is not readily available, yet it is the direction in which man must move. If we really, a large group of humanity, this cannot be done by one person, because the movements of nature are at a very, very massive scale. So it's unlike one is a, you know, unless one is a yogi like none else but Sri Aurobindo and the mother whose example comes to us. Otherwise, invariably, we will see that at least a group of humanity, if it can rise up to that level where it is in a state of mastery over its own storms, its own passions, angers, etc. Therefore, this group of humanity, by the fact of it dwelling in a state of peace and immobility and inner calm, can have an effect on the elemental forces. Surely, we have countless examples of these, and there should be a way, and we should actually, eventually, we should move in that direction. A third way is to rise above the storm. And the beautiful story of Shri Krishna, when the cyclone takes the asura takes the form of cyclone. Behind all these cyclones and hurricanes, there are usually adverse forces. Of course, behind all this, that destruction, there is Kali at that level. Not Mahakali, but Kali's force, because she is the goddess who sanctions the ultimately the destruction. Then the forces are least into play. And why does she rush? Wherever she sees insincerity in various forms. And today, if you see humanity, it is living in gross insincerity. Even those who claim to be moving towards a spiritual life, there is so much insincerity. Therefore, that is the only thing which we have to practice again and again. Not just aspiration, surrender, all this we have heard and we try to put into practice, but sincerity is the real key. That's where the whole thing lies. So, the more to rise above the storm means inwardly, when we are, let's say, when there is a passion, when there are these impulses which come and try to overtake us, we should keep saying that I am not this passion. That is the time we should try to climb into a higher state of consciousness. Obviously, we cannot do it unless we have practiced it during peaceful times. As somebody has said very beautifully, that if you sweat during peace, then you will have to shed less blood during war. So if you want to do it suddenly, it won't work out. But if we do it on an everyday basis, there are countless little storms, as they say, storm in a teacup. Many things that happen, small little things. Somebody has said something unpleasant happens. Sometimes, you know, our feet steps in a wrong way. Countless little things. And if during those moments we have practiced how to climb above the moment a reaction comes, we climb above the reaction, we practice equanimity, then, or best still, like, you know, in that famous story of Bhagavat, when Trinavrat, the storm maker, comes, and what does he do? When he simply rises up and he is above and the storm abates and he comes back untouched. Now, Shri Krishna, if we take as the symbol of the immanent divine, the psychic being in man, connected to the immanent divine, then it becomes very easy to understand that, well, what we have to do every day to rise above the storm, whether inner or outer, is to find the psychic being. And we come back to the same point, that without finding the psychic being, all that we may talk about yoga, all that we may talk about the worldly affairs, all that we may talk about current situations, have our political opinions and scientific viewpoint, they have no meaning, because none of these things can eventually save mankind. The thing that can save mankind is to find first the psychic being. The mother says that, my child, when the storm comes, then what do? You open the door and step inside and then close it. Now, but to step inside, we need to have the key. And she says, the key has been given to you, but you have not applied. So every day we are engaging our thoughts and feelings in 100 directions except this one, to apply the key and open the inner door. And if we have applied it and we know where it is kept, then it's very easy. The key is concentration. And applying it means to open the door inside the heart. So the more we practice this inner concentration, the more we have the aspiration to find the psychic being, the more we'll actually grow in sincerity, and the more we'll be able to come out of this storm. Not immediately, but slowly, as the psychic light steps out and begins to emerge into the outer nature, field of outer nature, it begins to align itself. See, the psychic is often described as a bride. There is a very famous couplet by a mystic in Hindi. Ghungat ka pat khol rahi to hai piya milenge. Lift the curtain. What is this curtain? The curtain is the veil that hangs between us and the Lord. And whom will we find? The Lord. Now what happens when people go to meet, you know, in a marriage, the bride and the bridegroom, they are all, gossiping, talking, chatting. But suddenly when the bride comes on the threshold, everybody becomes quiet and says, oh, here is, the bride has come. Now everybody is focused onto the bride. We take another example, which is, of course, we all know here, it's so practical and so beautiful. People go to the playground or the sports ground for the march past, and people are chatting, and as the time comes, and then suddenly when the time is there, a kind of silence befalls you. This is the presence, the moment. Imagine, take a situation that the mother walks into the playground. What do you do at that time? Will you chat? Well, of course, a different thing that she came so close to us that people were still chatting, and she had to one day say that, you know, gossip is so dangerous. But otherwise, let's talk, let's hope that we all have grown up at least a little more. When she is present, what would we do? Will we continue with our chats and our gossip, or we'll just look at her face? That is meditation, that is concentration. So the psychic being is within, and we have to search in that direction, look within. Now the moment we look at that, all the chatter and the clamor of the surface mind, all the various kind of storms of passion, everything automatically subside. Just by that look, it is mastered. And the paradox is, or rather the interesting part is, the more we are able to master that, the more we are able to master the forces of outer nature. Even animals, there is a very interesting thing that in one of the aphorisms, Shivindu says, the tiger does not attack the yogi. And we know Alexander David Neal's experience. Mother has recounted that she sat in meditation and she opened the eyes and saw a tiger. And it was a man-eating tiger. She was told about it, but still she sat down. And then she was filled with compassion. So, in the face, and then the tiger went away when she opened her eyes after some time. The tiger had gone away because she was filled with compassion toward the tiger, that maybe this is it, and he wants to eat, he's hungry, whatever it be. So if I have to leave my body this way, let me leave in the best of conditions, inner conditions. So when we have, whether it be something outward or inward, outward is of course more tangible, if we can put ourselves in that condition, mother speaks of shifting the needle of consciousness. And if you say, well, if this is going to be the end, if this is going to be the last thing on earth that I have to see, then let me put myself in the best of inner condition, in a state of peace, in a state of immobility, in a state of remembering the divine. And then we will see that we'll be very much prepared to face the situation, but strangely, the situation itself may vanish before our eyes. The circumstances change. Very often the outer circumstances are reflections of what we are within. But normally, what we experience at a massive level, obviously one person's sincerity and one person's aspiration or a few person's sincerity cannot stop it, because as I said, movements of nature are on a very huge level. But if humanity as a whole can grow more sincere, if humanity as a whole can have the true aspiration to break beyond the mental barrier and start looking at things afresh, to participate in the wonderful spiritual evolution, the door which has been opened for man, the door through which the divine consciousness has been knocking since ages. Every time we see the avatar comes and speaks of man to man to rise beyond the desire self, beyond the ego self, and rise to a higher level. We see after he goes, we reduce everything to a book. We have read it, we have finished it, but we don't try to live it. And that is the main paradox. So this time, of course, it's come with an absolute certitude. Very clearly, the mother and Sri Aurobindo have said, this time there are no halfway measures. Up till now, we see a procession of avatars. They come, they establish the truth, they give a book, they give a way of life. And for some time, and some few people follow it, most will just admire, others will forget or turn him into a kind of temple deity whom they will go and worship, but lead their life just as it is. But now these knocks are going to increase. That's what we are seeing. The way they are increasing again and again, because there is an indication that there is something which we are not doing inside. And it has nothing to do with sin and all those medieval concepts of humanity. But now they are pointing that we have not yet evolved. So even it can go to the bodily level, just as we spoke about the Japanese creating new houses which are more resistant to earthquakes. Similarly, we can create a new body out of this old body, which can face many of these elemental energies. By its very presence, it will spread into the atmosphere certain forces which can stop these elemental energies of even outer storms and cyclones from entering into a zone or entering into a place. There are so many stories to that effect. This is a story of a king who was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, and one day he sees a Rakshasa coming to him and saying, you know, I am going to come and rain plague on your land. And people will die. So he prays to Lord Shiva. And Shiva appears. He says, okay, what I'll do is only one person will die and no one else. Because Rakshasa also needs something. So he will have his food and go away. So he is very reassured. He comes. And then the plague starts. But many people die. Many more. So he asks Shiva, what happened? And Shiva tells him that, well, I had told him to take only one. And only one died of plague. The rest died out of fear. Now, this is the problem that we face every time a new creation is about to start. That there is always these forces inwardly, outwardly, disorder, chaos. The inner disorder takes the form of storm, creating outer disorder. The inner chaos of life takes the form of outer chaos. But it is time that at least some of us, the mother says, just a handful of humanity, not too many are needed, who are ready to take the plunge, who are ready to take the evolution next, the journey towards a spiritual evolution. And she says that it is enough if there are few human beings who can turn pure gold. And she says that humanity is not gold, it's no doubt about it. But it's enough if a few, a handful can become pure gold. And then she says, and I must add, the mother says, reminds us, 1957, that time presses from the human point of view. So from the human point of view, time is pressing, but pressing us to evolve from within. A new being, a new mind, a new heart, a new life, and even a new body. We must actually look in that direction. A body which is spontaneously immune from all calamities. A body which is free naturally from, immune from all diseases. This was the message she gave to the Ayurveda department. That spontaneous immunity which is possible in the supramental state. And at least those who are luminously mad, who believe that this is possible, who have the faith and not a faith in all the scientific unfolding and advices, which is okay, as I said, it's a legal requirement, but who have faith that there is a new possibility within the body, that is what we must explore. Of course, it will take place within the body only if it is there, expressing itself in the mind and the vital, they have changed, but this is the direction in which our evolution must tend, a spiritual evolution out of the limits of the mind into a new consciousness, a higher consciousness. And with the impact of that consciousness, right now with the mind we try to divert things, know things, change things. Then with a new consciousness we try to know things, understand things and change things, both within as well as outside. Thank you.